Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's going to have some testimonies here shortly. Praise the Lord. Wow.
Praise God.
It's good. It's good to be in a place where you have testimonies.
Okay, this young man, I don't know where he lives. He doesn't live anywhere close, though. He said, "Dear Thurman Scrivener, I was hospitalized. I knew because I had sex before marriage and because I lied to her and to continue our relationship just to use her body and her financial power. I repent to God. I pray for God to give me back my health. Please pray for me, dear Scrivener. I have got the girl's forgiveness." So we wrote and we said, "We prayed and it's done. Praise the Lord." And he wrote back, let's see how many, one the day later, "Praise the Lord, I feel much better. Thank you, God, thank you, Pastor Thurman."
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, this one, they wrote requesting, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, requesting prayer for the left side of my head and neck. Sometimes it hurts around my jawline, my forehead. Since learning and believing from your teachings, they brought me to know who I am in Jesus. But this last piece of my healing is stuck. I repented for my sin that's brought so many consequences. I stand firm on Mark 11:22-23, 1 Peter 2:24, and Matthew 18:19. I thank you in the Lord. Bless your ministry. So we wrote, left side of the body is female. Are you being stiff-necked toward a female? The head usually has to do with what you are saying or thinking. We have prayed and it is done. Praise the Lord. Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, okay, next day. Praise the Lord. The pain from the left side of my head and my neck is almost gone. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Very true. Very true that my thinking and saying were not pleasing to my Lord Jesus. Was carrying a stiff neck for a lady in church that has not been acting with sisterly love. And I was taking it personal. Praise the Lord for our earthly prayer warriors who live in the supernatural realm. In Jesus, the Lord bless you and keep you. Praise God. All right. This one says, "Pastor Thurman, I called your ministry last week and Baron prayed for me and instructed me the right way to give my tithe and offering. I went ahead and gave my tithe to your ministry. My family confirmed that the money I gave for grocery multiplied. Unlike before when I did not tithe correctly, the grocery money was never enough to buy much. Pray for an increase on my tithe and offering. Praise God."
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many of you know God likes you to give joyfully?
Yes.
Amen. He loves a joyful giver.
Amen.
Not a grumbler.
I'm not grumbling. I am praising God. Dear Pastor, okay, these people, it was kind of interesting because they had written me to want to know if we were going to be here last Sunday, and I had said, of course we were going to be here. And so then all of a sudden, too, I shot out off my phone or something that we weren't all of a sudden going to be here, but I don't think they got the message. So they showed up here last Sunday, okay? Dear Pastor Thurman, you are in our prayers as we know God has much more for you to do. If you can, please let me know how you are. I've been listening to your CDs for over 6 years and share them with anyone who is willing to listen. We so enjoyed and got much revelation from Dave on Sunday. Wow. I would love to be able to tell him myself how much of an impact he made. With the foundation of your teachings and the addition of his, together your ministry has such an impact on my life as well as that of my sister and daughter. This was my sixth time to come make the 5 to 6 hour drive. Next time, my son is coming with my daughter-in-law and me. In fact, my daughter took a half day off Monday so the three of us could soak in what we learned and compare notes. I still have the notes I took from your teachings and all the verses of Scripture. I thank you for your diligence to study the Word so that you've been able to share with so many what God taught you through Jesus Christ. Thank you. 10 years is a long time, and you will probably never know how much fruit you have borne until you get to heaven. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. That's a shortened version of this great passage of Scripture. I love you in Christ, and thank you for what you've done for me. Of course, my blessings to your wonderful and godly wife, Cheryl. I hope I spelled correctly. She said, I looked online to find my name, but couldn't find my name, just her beautiful picture. Wasn't that nice? That's okay, you can misspell my name. But she spelled it right. Cheryl, thank you for being the kind of wife I want to be. I often tell women of your little dog story and how you let God speak to Thurman instead of nagging him. I'm doing that now with my husband. I want to give more, but he still has a tight purse string, but I know God will work on his heart. Please tell Dave how much I love his teachings as well. I, too, was dying in the Messianic teachings. I quit Christmas and ended up leaving my church. That's all changed, and I'm really trying to find a Bible church and quit church hopping so I can settle down and serve. That's been and still is my prayer. Oh, and my sister, who's had pain 24/7 for many years, was healed just before the service ended. My daughter and I experienced a significant change and are still believing for complete healing. Thanks again, Claudia.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be through with pain.
Yes.
Believe me.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor Thurman, my name is Alex. I'm a new Christian, and I really enjoy listening to your CDs. They are amazing. Not too many pastors teach on healing and the power of Jesus. I find your teachings very, very inspiring. A few months back, I was having chest pains, and I asked God in Jesus' name to heal me, because it is written, we are healed by his stripes, and I believe that. After I prayed that, I have not had a chest pain whatsoever. I recently had a stress test done, and the doctor said, your heart is perfect, and walked away. Praise God.
Amen.
He said, here's a small donation for your ministry. Thank you very much for your teaching on God's power. May God bless your ministry, your brother in Christ, Alex.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Done? Okay, the young lady had the testimony.
It's actually not quite a testimony, it's a praise report, but I want to tell you how grateful I am for this church, and I will say that I feel like you go to kindergarten and you go to elementary and junior high and high school and college, and then you go to graduate school, and for me this is graduate school in the spiritual realm. It really is. And I wouldn't even have time to say all the blessings that have come into my life since I've been coming to this ministry, and how much I appreciate it. So, but I wanted you all to know, many of you know Dee Dee. Her mother is Judy, and Dee Dee was diagnosed with a very bizarre cancer 6 years ago and was given a very short time to live. And Carrie was with me. We just celebrated her 50th birthday last night, and she is doing great. Six years later. So, wanted you to know.
Praise the Lord. All right. Wow. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wow, how many of you know that you can be going great and everything be doing good and all of a sudden the whole world changes? I'm telling you. I have had an experience like that last week. It's amazing how you can feel so good, everything is going good, and then all of a sudden pain starts coming up on your body. Now then, when you stop and think about pain, there's only one thing in this world I hate more than pain. More pain. So anyway, last week I had an encounter like that. In fact, this event that happened to me last week reminded me very in depth of my first wife, Betty, and how she used to keep children, and how that she always kept normal children. What I call normal, you know, children that were just good kids. But one day there's a lady came to her and asked her if she'd keep her son till she could find a babysitter. And she said, well, she didn't really want to keep any more children, but she guessed she would. She said, why can't you find a setter? And she said, well, my son doesn't appear to be normal, and I can't find anybody that can keep him. Well, that gave Betty a challenge. She said, "Oh, bring the boy over. He's only 9 months old." She said, "Bring the boy over. I've never met a child I can't keep." Well, that's the normal person. You believe that you can master a child. But you know, when you see a child that has unique problems, you see those children, some of them, wind up in the hospital where the father or the mother, usually it's the father of the child, got so angry at the child, they shake the child. Have you seen that? Where they get mad at the child and they spank him, they do everything, and nothing seems to help the child. Well, there is a spiritual problem in a situation like that, and most people don't know that. So they think if you spank a child, it ought to quit, you know, in other words, everything ought to be okay. Sometimes that's not the case. So anyway, Betty tried to keep the child, and the mother brought the child every day for about 3 weeks, every day, from early in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And Betty found out this child was not normal. Now, I wasn't at home during any of this, so I didn't know what was going on. But one afternoon, I came home from work, and I heard my wife make this statement: "I have finally met my match. I have met my match." I said, "What do you mean you've met your match?" She said, "I've never seen a child that I couldn't keep." I said, "This child, this little 9-month-old boy, is impossible." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "He screams, he kicks, he cries, he knocks his milk over. He turns things over. He just cries and screams that he's not normal." And she said, "I have met my match." You know, most of us have not been babysitters, and we never think about things like that. But whenever she said she met the match, I said, "So what does he do?" And when she began to tell me what he did, how he kicked and screamed and turned his milk over and throwed his food. You could give him something to eat, he'd just throw it. You know, she said, "He's just not normal." Well, being a father, a dad, and being a spiritual man, a man that has studied the Word of God with really great intensity, my first reaction was this. Instead of saying, "Just bring me the child, I'll beat the devil out of him for you," I said, "Father, if this child's not normal, then what's wrong with this boy?" Now, who did I ask?
Father.
I asked the Father. The Father. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And when I ask him, what is the first thing he always tells you to do when you ask for something? Thank him. Ask him for the answer. What is wrong with Cody? And thank you, Father, for the answer. Always ask with thanksgiving. And immediately, the Lord spoke to me just as clear as a bell. And he says, when I said, "What's wrong with the child?" He says, "Tormenting spirit." Now, most people that are in the church have no idea that you can have a tormenting spirit. I mean, do we talk about that very often? I mean, here we probably do. But most people never heard of a tormenting spirit. Before you started coming to this church, had you ever heard of a tormenting spirit? Why do we not talk about that? If it's in the Word, the Lord clearly says in His Word that if we don't do what He tells us to do, we don't walk in love, and if we get into bitterness and unforgiveness, He will send, God the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. I mean, that's written in the book, isn't it?
Yes.
So if God says, if you don't obey me, I will send a tormenting spirit, he means what he says. So anyway, I told Betty, I said, well, the Lord just told me. Of course, the child was already going home that afternoon. And I told her, I said, the Lord just told me what the problem was. I said, he just told me that the child has a tormenting spirit. And of course, I said, I know, according to God's word, that I have all authority and all power over tormenting spirits, and that those spirits have to obey me. That goes the same for you. So anyway, the next morning when she brought mother, it was Friday morning, she brought the little 9-month-old boy and set him down in a high chair, and immediately he started kicking and screaming and knocking things over. Mother was crying and everything. And so anyway, after the little guy, after the mother, little guy's mother left, I just walked over real gently and knelt down in front of his high chair. And I reached up and turned his little high chair around where I could get to him. And I put my hands on his shoulders and I kind of popped him just a little bit to get his attention. I said, Cody, turned and looked at me. I said, I know you're a tormenting spirit in there, and I have been given all power and all authority. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you foul tormenting spirit of hell to come out of this boy and go to the abyss, and don't you ever come back to this house. This house belongs to the Son of God. It belongs to me and my wife, and you have no legal right to be here. We're walking in obedience to God's word. So I demand and command you to come out of him and leave him and do not come back. In Jesus' name. Very powerful, forceful authority. I commanded that spirit to leave. Then I stood up. I said, I guarantee you and Cody will have a great day today. Now see, I mean, you got to believe. I mean, God said when you ask for something, you got to ask in total 100% faith. If you don't believe that I'm going to do what I promise you, he said, you are unstable in all your ways, and you need not think that nothing is going to happen for you. So I left with that command on my lips. I guarantee you and Cody will have a blessed day today. And I drove off. Well, when I came back that afternoon, Betty said, you're not going to believe. I said, what do you mean? I guarantee without even asking. I know, after what the Lord told me, I know you had a great day with Cody today, didn't you? She said he was a perfect, normal little boy. Said he didn't kick, he didn't scream. Said he took a couple of naps for the first time. She said he was just a good, sweet little boy. And so she said, I don't understand this. I said, like I told you, he had a spirit. Now then, after 3 weeks of trying to keep him, whenever Betty, she, like I said, after trying her best to keep that little child for 3 weeks, she had met her match. She knew that she had gone beyond what she could handle. And that's where most of us are. That's where I used to be and may still be. That I'm not where I need to be. I don't have all the knowledge and wisdom that I need, but I'm still working on it.
Yes,
just like the young lady said, I've been studying for 10 years intently, but I still don't know everything I need to know. I need to be in a really PhD, I guess, course or something. I really need to be learning. But anyway, the next Monday morning, when Mother brought the little boy back, she came in and she walked. I was standing there by the kitchen sink. And the little boy's mother come in and she said, Betty, what did you do to my son? Betty said, I didn't do anything to him. What do you mean? She said, did you give him some medicine? He said, no, I would have never given him any medicine without your approval. Why? She said, because He's never been like this. Said for the first time in his life, he had a normal, great weekend. She said he slept over the weekend. He ate over the weekend. He played over the weekend. He was a normal little nine-month-old boy. You had to do something. And Betty turned around and looked at me and says, Thurman prayed for him. She said, well, Mr. Scrivener, whatever you did, it worked. She said, our son. So anyway, he was perfectly normal all weekend long. That little boy today is about, 17, 18, 19. His grandmother runs one of the stores here in Justin. And only last year, we were talking about how he was a little hellion the first months of his life. I mean, he was a little devil. And I told her, I said, well, do you know what happened to him? She said, I have no idea. I said, well, let me tell you what happened. The mother knows, because the mother, she and her husband told me that my encounter with them had changed their spiritual walk with God forever. In other words, if we study His Word tells us what to do about everything. Well, let me tell you, last week, I had two intensive days of pain. I didn't realize what had happened. I'm praying, I'm standing on the Word, I'm doing everything I know to do. The first little encounter was, I think, 18 hours. The first one was 8 hours, and the second one was 18. Yeah. But for 8 hours, I couldn't get comfortable. Nothing I could do. I mean, I'm praying, I'm standing on the Word, I'm quoting Scripture, I'm doing everything I know how to do. And the pain is intense. In other words, like I say, I now know when the devil was talking to Job and talking to God. When he says, God, if you'll let me put some pain on Job, I will show you he will curse you to your face, because any man will give everything he has for his skin. Well, let me tell you, there's more truth to that than you know. But it is in when you, the intensive pain, that 8 hours, and of course I went back there to the back and I lay down on my side, and I'm pushing on my chest and my groin and everywhere, trying to get some relief. And finally, 8 hours later, that intestine moves. And when it moves, it released the pain. And boy, it don't take nothing to remind you, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, the pain went away for a while. And then the next day, my sister came up, and we went to eat and all that stuff, and I was doing pretty good. And then the pain started coming back. This time, the pain didn't go away. I did everything. The first time it was 8 hours. The second time it was 18 hours. I mean, I thought I was a tough old boot, but I found out I'm a wimp. When it comes to pain, I tried everything I could. I stood on the Word. I'd done everything. And I remember when I got to that point where I thought about what Betty said, I have met my match. I came to that point when the pain was more intense than my faith. And when the Lord tells us we need faith, what do you think He meant? You really need to study His Word. You need the pain. You need to learn how to walk in freedom. I was trying everything I knew how to do, but the pain was getting more and more intense. And as the pain got more and more intense, I finally told Cheryl, I said, I've had it. I've come to the point I can't handle it no more. I guess if I had been like Job out in the middle of nowhere, I'd have had to bear it. But I said, I know just down the road there's a hospital. And I know they have the stuff that can take away my pain, because I'm throwing up and everything. And I guess after I throw it up 4 or 5 times, Cheryl, she diagnosed me right. She said, you must have a twisted intestine. You must have a twisted intestine for you to throw up like this. And I said, well, all I can say is it's really painful and I can't handle it no more. So I'm going to go to a doctor. So I told her, I said, I had a pair of shorts on. That's it. I had a pair of shorts on. I went in and got her mother's house coat. And I put that house coat on, and I had no shoes and socks on. And I called my son, and I had Cheryl call him. I said, Tim, come over here. You got to take me to the hospital. He said, what's wrong, Dad? I said, well, I've got a pain that I can't get rid of. I said, I've got to have you take me to the hospital. So I said, the pain is intensive. He told me, he said, when I walked up to your front door and you're standing there with a house coat on, it's open and you got a pair of shorts on, you ain't got no shoes or socks, and you said, load me in that pickup, we're going to the hospital. He said, I knew you were hurting. Well, let me tell you, I was hurting, and I'd reached my breaking point. I hope you never have to go there. But anyway, Tim took me to the hospital. Cheryl took me to the hospital. We went up there together. And whenever I got there, I got out of the car. I told him, I said, Cheryl said, just stay right here. I'll go get a wheelchair. I said, I can walk to the hospital. I don't need that. She said, no, I'm going to push you in a wheelchair. So anyway, I tried to obey them, and they got me in a wheelchair, and they pushed me in there. As I got in there in the hospital, the doctor asked me what was going on, and I told him. He said, well, it sounds like you have a gut problem, but we'll have to do a CT scan to find out. Do you know that when they say we want you to drink this little bottle of juice within 30 minutes and then this other little bottle of juice within 30 minutes, when you're hurting as bad as I was hurting, that seemed like 3 days. I mean, isn't it amazing how pain changes your, boy, you feel? But anyway, I couldn't stand it. I sat there on the side of the bed. As I sat on the side of the bed with my feet on the floor, Cheryl was holding me. That's the only place I could get that I had any kind of halfway comfort at all. I mean, it was awful. But anyway, I kept thanking the Lord. And of course, one time I looked up at the Lord and I said, Lord, one thing this lets me know, how much you love me, because what I'm going through right now is nothing, nothing compared to what you went through for us on that cross. You know, you find it real easy to praise him for what he did. Because we take what he did for us for granted. If we didn't undergo, he said, through our pain and suffering, we were made perfect. Well, I want to be perfect, but I'm glad I'm perfect because he's perfect. I'm glad I didn't have to do it, because I'm telling you, I met my breaking point. He didn't meet his breaking point. He continued on. He went right on. But anyway, as I sat there, and finally that 30 minutes goes by and an hour goes by, and Cheryl's kind of holding me and everything, and I'm throwing up all this stuff that's coming out. And they said, well, now that you've been here all this period of time, we're going to do the CT scan and see how this looks. And so they slid me in a container, and that was my first time ever. I've never had a CT scan. I when they wanted to know, we don't have any records of you and your doctors. I said, the reason you don't, because I've never been to a doctor.
In 40 years.
I said, in 40 years, I've been able to pray off everything and been able to bear the pain. Now, I mean, there's times that the pain has been excruciating. There's times I've went through those things, but I prayed and I was able to overcome the problem. But this time I just couldn't do it. So anyway, they run me through that CT scan. When the doctor, when they come back, they says, call the emergency doctor. I thought, uh-oh. They run you through a CT scan. The first thing they do is call the emergency doctor. That must mean something's wrong. Well, when he come and looked at it, he said, something's definitely wrong. You have two twisted intestines.
Two bowel obstructions.
Yeah, so the two twisted intestines. And let me tell you what, that ain't no fun. I had the first time I'd ever had something like that that I knew of. But anyway, the doctor, he told me, said, we've got a schedule for surgery. And he said, we'll get you in. And at first he said, it's probably going to be about 9 o'clock tomorrow night or something like that. Well, I'm in excruciating pain. And so anyway, I said, well, whatever it takes, Lord. I said, Lord, I'm your child. I know you're going to make it work for me the best you can. So anyway, I just told him, I said, whatever. But I said, I want you to know, sir, he was a really nice surgeon. I said, anywhere you can get me close to the front, as I said, I am in some kind of pain. So I said, anything you can do to help me, I would appreciate it. Well, we go through, I don't even know how many hours. And finally, this other doctor, ER doctor, what do they call them? The one who gives you the medication?
Anesthesiology.
Yeah, I'm laying there. They finally laid me down on this bed. I can't get comfortable. And they kind of wash me, get me ready for surgery. And as they're working, I look at this. This doctor walks up. I don't know who he is. Never seen him before. He says, is there something I can do to help you? I'm a doctor. I said, sir, anything you could give me that'll take away this pain, I will appreciate it greatly. I said, I've been in pain for 2 days. And I said, it's really painful. He said, in 10 seconds, you won't remember nothing. And in 10 seconds, the lights went out. Actually, I didn't hardly even notice it. You know, when I'm looking up at him, and I said, if there's anything you can do to help me, I would really appreciate it. He said, in 10 seconds, you won't remember nothing. And I didn't realize he was injecting the stuff into my body right then. So I just, it's so easy for your body to quit working. A little bitty tiny injection of whatever that was totally turned my lights out for 4 hours. I mean, I didn't remember nothing. You know, at 4 hours down the road, you know, I mean, I didn't realize what they were doing, but once they kicked me out, the next thing they do, this guy comes in here after he's seen my insides and what it looks like, he comes in here in my groin area and cuts a hole in me about 4 or 5 inches long, you know, and then he reaches in there and gets all my intestines, they tell me, and pulls them out and lays them on my stomach. I thought, wow, I'm glad I can't see all this. But he washed off my intestines. He washed them out. I had so much stuff. And then he told first, oh, Cheryl, it would probably take about 45 minutes to an hour. And an hour and a half later, he comes out, and she asked him, what's wrong? He said, well, the intestines, I left them laying out where we can check them for a while. I want to make sure they live and not die. And that's why y'all were asked last Sunday to pray that my intestines would live and not die. And of course, thank God they did. They lived. I thought about what the Lord told Robert Morris whenever he had his hernia. It's amazing. Robert and I have something in common. I had a hernia surgery, and he had a hernia surgery. You know, the major difference is my surgeon, when he came up to me after he got through with everything, put me all back together and put all my intestines back inside and all the stuff they do. He come up to me and told me, he says, Thurman, he said, even if the intestines do not live, he said, we're going to believe they are, but he said, even if they don't, I'll just have to go back in and cut you open again and take out about 2 inches of those intestines. But he said, even if I have to take that out, he said, you will still live and not die. He said, this will not kill you. And I thought about what Robert's pastor, or not pastor, but surgeon told him. He said, Robert, there is absolutely no reason for you to be alive. You have no blood pressure whatsoever, none. My blood pressure was right up there, almost perfect the whole time. While they were working, my blood pressure was perfect. But I've always said my blood pressure is 120 over 70. I've always said that. My blood pressure has always been 120 over 70. But Robert, what happened to him, his doctor, my doctor is standing there over me saying, if we do have to go back in and cut you open, we'll fix the intestine and you will still live. You will not die. And I thought, wow. But Robert's doctor is sitting there saying, Robert, you have no blood pressure. There's no reason why you should be alive. You should be dead. So you need to tell your wife and your children goodbye before this helicopter leaves, because you'll probably be dead before you get to the other end. That's what they told Robert Morris. So Robert, he's got a good doctor that's telling him, you may not live. But I've got a doctor, a good one, that's telling me that I'm going to live. No problem. So that means I wasn't near as bad as Robert was. My surgery wasn't near as bad as him. But when you think about the two things, well, and of course, Robert, he's tuned into the Lord just like I am, maybe even more so, but he went to the Lord after he did all the surgery, and they asked him, you know, Robert asked the Lord, Lord, why did this happen? And he said clearly, the Lord spoke to him clearly and said, Robert, I did what I did for you to know that I'm still in charge. Do we know who's in charge?
Amen.
Is his name Jesus?
Yes.
Absolutely, his name Jesus. And so, and he said, you know, not only am I still in charge, but he said, I want you to know that spiritual warfare needs to be used in your church. And I want you to know that I still answer the prayers of the saints. So in other words, if Robert's supposed to be dead, and his men and women in his church are praying, and God brings him back to life, or if I'm in another hospital a little later, and my intestines, they tell me that it looks like that they may die and not live, but they're going to say, I'm going to live and not die. And so from our little church here, or Robert's church, which has tens of thousands, the answer was the same. The Lord answered our prayer. He forgave us and he healed us. And of course, as I began to recover, I began to understand why. One of the reasons I was there. Cheryl and I, we met several of nice little nurses. These little girls, we talked to her. Of course, we talked to all of them about Jesus. You know, one of the girls there, when I began to talk to her about Jesus, how she said, you know, well, this is my ministry. She said, I pray for people. I said, do you see God heal very many? She said, well, not many, but a few. And I said, well, let me tell you how to increase your abilities. She said, what do you mean? I said, you need to remit their sin. She said, I've never heard that. I said, John 20:23 says, remit their sin. I said, when you remit their sin, then you can pray for them, lay hands on them. And I said, after we talked to her for two or three times, an hour or two at a time, she came back and she says, wow, this was a divine appointment. And I really believe it was. And then we had a little Oriental, Japanese, I think, come in. She was a Catholic. And she had got saved about 3 years ago, and I began to explain these things to her. She said, "Oh, you're a pastor?" I said, "Oh, yes." She says, "Why are you a pastor?" I said, "Because the Lord Jesus spoke to me audibly and told me this is what I'm supposed to do." She said, "You mean you've heard God's audible voice?" I said, "Yes, many times." She said, "Boy, do I have some questions." She said, "Can I ask you questions?" I said, "Sure." So, man, she flips out her little list and starts down the list. And we did, every two or three times we talked to her, but we talked to several of the girls there, and I thought, isn't this something God uses us even in our problems? Here we are, praying over the Word, praying over the Lord, and watching Him answer our prayer. And I thought to myself, here's Cheryl and me still. Here we are, one night after surgery, we're laying there in the bed in the hospital. And of course, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm not going to have any pain. I know you bore my pain. I know you did that for me." I said, "I had a hernia fixed once 40 years ago. And I said, I did that. And I did that as an outpatient. I mean, I knew I didn't have the faith this time that I had then. But I just knew I couldn't do it." But anyway, just one day after surgery, I'm laying there listening to Cheryl read emails to me, and we're praying over people all over the country. Who would ever dream that here's a man that just had major surgery, laying there, talking to his wife, praying for people in Timbuktu, China, and Korea, and everywhere else, praying for people. And here I am laying here needing somebody to pray for me. But y'all had done that. So you see how the body of Christ works? It works. And it's a great entity, and we know how it works, and we're seeing God do some great and wonderful things. Do what, honey?
About
oh. Yeah, I don't know. One of the stories that I told the girls in the hospital, I just got them laughing. Years ago, there was a man down in Louisiana, a Cajun, and he was named Jerry Clower. Some of you may have lived long enough to see Jerry Clower. I think he died in the 70s or something, but he had a friend named Marcel. And they used to love to go down on the creek on the bayous there in Louisiana and hunt coons. You know, I used to do that too when I was a kid, so I enjoyed coon hunting and all that stuff. So anyway, Jerry and Marcel were out hunting coons, and they treed this great big old coon. He went running up the tree. The dogs was barking and everything, running up the tree. He goes up in there, and where they get there, and they get their sticks and everything, and they want to punch the coon out of the tree, so that the coon would come out. And when the dogs got after him, of course, they all went up in that tree. And of course, that coon, he didn't want nothing to do with them two big old hound dogs. That's why he went up in that tree. And he wasn't going to come out of that tree. But anyway, Marcel, he told Jerry, he said, "I'm going to climb up in that tree and punch out that coon so these dogs can chase him." So he goes up in that tree and he starts punching on that coon. When he starts punching on that coon's looking down at them dogs down over them big old teeth. That ain't going nowhere. I mean, he's going to stay up there. So he jumps over on Marcel and attacks him. So now then the coon is attacking Marcel. Marcel, that coon is biting on him. He's biting chunks out of him. He says, "Jerry, shoot up here. Shoot up here." He said, "Marcel, I can't shoot up there. I might hit you." He says, "That's all right. One of us got to have some relief." I thought when I was laying there in that pain, I thought, "Lord, that's me." Just just tell that doctor to shoot up here above you. I will either me or that coon's got to have some relief. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? I needed some relief. And so, Doc, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to put in that deal, just put it in there. I got to have some relief. And that's when he said, in 10 seconds, you won't remember anything. And, of course, for 4 hours, I didn't remember it. So, but anyway, I don't know if you've ever heard any of those songs by Jerry Clower way back yonder a long time ago. But they, for us old country boys that went coon hunting, they were kind of fun to listen to. Anyway, praise the Lord, as they're getting the communion stuff, because of y'all's prayers and your diligence last week and this week, and of course so many of you come by to see me while I was laying down, because it's really something to be laid out. But many of y'all came by and visited me and everything, and I appreciate that. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Praise the Lord. So.
Bill Wagner has a question. Do you want to answer it?
Okay. Yes, sir.
He said yes, sir.
Did you ask the Lord what caused this?
Did you ask the Lord what caused this?
Yeah, I did. And I got my answer. He said, son, hernias come upon you because of anger and rage. And he said, you have not gotten rid of your anger and rage. That's why it came upon you. In fact, I was talking to a man last week when I told him that I was having a problem with an intestine. And he asked me what causes that, since everybody asked the question. I told him, I said, well, my normal experience with hernias on everybody is anger and rage. I said, in fact, the Lord healed me one time of a hernia, and I stayed healed for a while. And then one day, I don't know why we do what we do. We're just human, I guess. But when I remember one of my boys, we were doing something with a car, and he did something I didn't like. After I specifically told him not to do it, I know that none of y'all have ever done that before in your life. But anyway, whenever he did what I told him not to do, I got so angry, I just totally lost control. I told him what I thought, and I should have kept my mouth shut. And then I went later, and I repented. I said, Lord, I am so sorry that I got so angry at that man. But I said, he totally defied me, totally went against what I told him to do. So I said, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. But that didn't caused the hernia, and about another month or two, the hernia came back. And I asked him then, what caused this one? He said, this is the result of that anger and rage. I said, well, Lord, I repented. He said, I know. But still, there's consequences. He reminded me about Mary and Moses, about how when they came in and they talked, and Marion and Aaron both, especially Marion, she got mad at Moses for what he'd done. And then the Lord appeared in the door. After the Lord appeared in the door, he told them that he's going to judge them. In fact, he judged them by putting leprosy. Y'all remember the story? The Lord struck Marion with leprosy. And so she had this, of course, Marion both began to cry out to the Lord when they realized she had, like having cancer, eating her skin away. They began to beg and plead. The Lord was angry himself. He said, I'm going to hear your prayer, Moses. I'm going to heal your sister. I want her to go out into the wilderness for 7 days by herself. Let her go out there and think. And did you know, I was thinking about that, there wasn't no 7-Elevens out there to stop and get you something cold to drink. You know what I mean? When she went out there, she went out there, and of course, I look at all these examples that God put in His Word, and then He tells us He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. It makes it real simple for me to realize that sin and sickness are absolutely directly connected. I mean, you'll never convince me after what I've seen. And of course, when we were in Big Springs here a few years ago, there was a lady came up to me after the service, and she said, I have never, she said, when you asked the question, do we believe that God would discipline us with sickness and pain for our sin? She said, I said, no, absolutely not. God loves me. He would never do that. But she said, you turn to there, to Job, and you took Job 33, and you started at verse 25, and it says those very things in the Bible. God will discipline His children with sickness and pain deep in their bones. Doesn't it say that? If it says that, then what do you think it means? It means what it says. So even though I repented, I told the Lord how sorry I was, I thought about the pain that I suffered. This is the way you can look at it. The pain that I suffered, that's what it cost me to get mad at that man. Is it worth it?
No,
let me tell you. It ain't worth it. The thing about it is, when you experience enough pain, let me tell you, you have no idea how I was pleading with the Lord, sitting there on the edge of that bed in excruciating pain for all those hours. It's easy to say, Lord, I repent. I repent. And does He forgive me? Sure He does. But does that mean He's going to take away the punishment? No. He'll take it away when He's ready. So, I'm telling you, but it's going to, ever since we got out of the hospital, it's been two or three times that somebody would say something or something, and I think, you know, I'm not even going to respond to that.
It
ain't worth it. Let me tell you what, if you let God twist your arm or your leg, or if you want to get in your groin where He got me, want to get it in that groin, and you want to grab it up there and pull that and twist it and do it like that, and you want to sit there and suffer for 18 hours one time and 8 hours another time, if it's worth that, go ahead and do it. But for me in my house, it ain't worth it. I ain't even going to say nothing. I'm just going to say, okay, God, I don't care how mad I appear. You know, I know the scripture under the new covenant says get rid of all anger and rage. Does it not?
Yes.
Who did He tell to get rid of it? All of us. So who gets angry? Who gets angry? You get angry?
People like me.
So who's going to stop you from getting angry, friends?
Well,
you are.
Me.
Yeah, it will, won't it?
It will.
It will. You know, so, yeah. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But anyway, this gentleman last week, the day before I went to the hospital, I said something to him about, he asked a question too. He says, what causes hernias? I told him, I said, anger and rage. He said, Thurman Scrivener, I've known you for a long time. I've never known you had a crossword to nobody. I said, well, you don't know the real Thurman Scrivener. I can put on a pretty good show. But you know, we still have that anger thing. Y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yes.
What did God tell us to do with that anger? Stop it. I command you to be no anger, no rage. And that's just like, it's kind of like people when they hear that no sex before marriage. And then they go out and they have sex with some girl and they get them pregnant. I mean, just because you said, Lord, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to do that. Now, is that going to take away that little baby?
No.
He's still there. You're going to suffer the consequences of your life. That child will suffer the consequences of your sin for its whole life. I mean, just because we repent doesn't take away the consequences of sin. So anyway, Lord, I'm gonna walk in obedience to His word. I told Him. I mean, as I sat there in that bed and suffered and pains, I said, Lord, it's absolutely obvious. I can remember. I can go back in my life. And I can think of times, several times, that the guys that worked for me, I'd get mad enough at them, you know, to really, really run them over the coals. I could do that. But I don't have to. And I ain't going to no more. I'm just going to say, the pain ain't worth it. But the pain is what caused my anger and rage. Guarantee that's what caused the hernia. That's what caused the first one. And that's what caused the second one. But I ain't going to do it no more. Next time I'm going to think. I remember a doctor. And I'll only tell this story now because he's gone. He's dead. But I remember one time this doctor. I told a story about him. He called me, and he got so angry at me. I had seen such an awesome miracle. I'd prayed for this doctor, and this doctor got healed, instantly healed. And I told the story like a layman. I'm not a doctor. I don't know the parts of your body. I just know a little bit about it, but I don't know much. But anyway, whenever I told his story in church, because I got him healed, and I thought he'd be happy. His back was crushed. He had crushed himself. And I prayed and God gave him a brand new back. And then he got so angry at me, he threatened to sue me. A man that just got healed threatened to sue me. And I called him back and I told him, I said, sir, I didn't mean to offend you. I was just telling your story the best way I knew how. I just wanted Jesus to be glorified, not nobody else. That's all I wanted. And I said, and he said, well, I ought to sue you for what you did. And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you this. If you do, just remember, the same Jesus that healed you is the one that can take away your healing. I said, how would you like to get mad at me and then tomorrow morning you wake up and you're back in that fire in your back and you're still laying there in that bed and there ain't going to be no healing? I said, which way you want it? Because I said, the God I know can go both ways. I said, He can give you your healing and He can take your healing away. Do we not know that?
Yes.
Is He the boss?
Yes.
He's the boss. Well, the man, he withdrew, said, okay. And so after that, I had no problem with him, none whatsoever. But I will have to say, I'm still at the same point in my life. If you have something come upon you and you want to be healed, the first thing to do is find out, what did I do? What sin did I commit? And let me get rid of that sin. Let me walk in love with everybody. Now then, don't think for a second, just because you might have sinned years ago, that it can't come upon you years into the future.
Amen.
It can. So, the world don't want you to hear this. The church don't want you to hear this. But I'm just sorry The word says what it says, and I can't change it. Is that right, Miss Jackie?
That's right.
The word says what it says. And it, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So you want to get in his word, just like that lady out there in Big Spring. She said, until I heard you teach on that Job 33 that day, she said, I never dreamed that God would discipline people. But she said, that's the very words the scripture says. God will send sickness and pain deep in people's bodies for their sin. If he says that, do you think he'll do what he said?
Yeah.
And how are you going to stop that? Walk in love. Walk in love. You know, I thought about a couple of times. Of course, it's been a long time since I've done any of those crazy things or say anything to Cheryl. But I just thought to myself, if there was anything that I had done against my wife that I could change that would take the pain away, I'd do anything. Because when you're in that excruciating pain, does that change the way you look at everything? It really does. Yeah. But you have to answer the question that Bill asked a while ago. Lord clearly laid it out that the reason I had this problem with this hernia was because I got so angry with a man a few years ago. Actually, the hernia came on me about 8 years ago. And it was about 10 years ago that I had the problem with that man. But that man did something. He was working on a car of mine. And I told him something to do, and he did it exactly different. And messed up something, cost me a couple of $1,000s. I got so mad at him. And I could have just backed off and said, that's it. But I didn't. I got mad. But let me tell you what, it won't be like that no more. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You know, I don't like being sick. Do you, friends? I like being able to get my prayers answered. I love to have no pain. So in other words, when God says, I only command you to do one thing, and that's walk in love with each other, that's what he means. And if he has to break your arm to get you to do what he says, he'll do it. Guarantee he'll do it. So, I mean, if you've never experienced these kind of things, start paying attention. In your life, when something happens to you, and then when something happens, and it may be a day, a week, a month, or 6 months before something comes upon you. But when it does, ask the Lord, Lord, what caused this to happen to me? And then when he tells you, don't argue with him. Well, that's what most of us do. But he's trying to keep you in your love walk. I don't understand how people, when they see the Word of God and you read the Word of God, you just can't get it no other way than what it says. It says what it says and it means what it says. So do what it says and then you won't have no problems. Anybody else have another question?
When you say you ask God what causes it to happen, you ask that one time, or do you keep asking?
Oh, I ask you till I get an answer. Yep, ask till I get an answer. Yeah, I've run into that experience several times when we had to ask. In fact, we had one couple here, one of their little girls. The father had to pray every day for 3 weeks before the Lord spoke to the mother and told her what the sin was. But once the Lord spoke to that mother, and that mother repented of that sin, we prayed the prayer of faith, and in 2 weeks, the baby was completely healed. She'd been sick for 8 years. Ain't that something? So you don't ever give up. God will answer you, won't he?
Yes.
Many of you have asked the Lord. He will show you. But you know, if you do everything with the Word of God, use it as an example. In other words, one of the toughest things in the world, just like Cheryl and me. Cheryl had not been married for 24 years. whenever God brought me and her together. And she'd heard me say that wives must submit to their husbands. But women hear that, but they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. I don't want to obey him. Ladies, I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. Did I, friends?
No.
I didn't write that book at all. But just like also where it says husbands.
Love your wife. Love the church.
Yeah, do you think he meant that too?
Yes.
And what was the closure on that, Missy? Oh, and he's talking to the boys there, isn't he? If you don't do what I tell you, then I won't answer your prayer. And is he big enough to do that?
Amen.
So then if you're laying there and you got hurt and you're the man, you knew you wasn't very good to your wife and you'd done something smart to her or said something to her, and you're laying there in excruciating pain and you say, Lord, why did this terrible pain come upon me? He said, oh, you don't remember a few days ago when you said some nasty things to your wife? Well, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, I know you are. You're going to be a whole lot sorrier before you get through that pain. Will he do that? Yes, he will. He will. I mean, the thing about it is, when you ask, but now I will have to say, God knows exactly what he's doing, because when Cheryl and I got married, she was a very spiritual woman. But as she's trying to get her prayers answered and everything, one night we're laying over there in bed and at 1 o'clock in the morning, and she can't sleep. And finally she wakes me up and said, honey, you gotta pray for me. I said, what's wrong? She said, I've got a upset stomach or fire in my stomach or something. And she said, I'm uncomfortable and I can't sleep. I said, how long have you had it? She said, 2 days. I said, 2 days? I said, woman, you know, why did you ask me 2 days ago? You know, why did you wait till 1 o'clock in the morning? And she said, well, I've been praying for myself. I said, woman, what do you not understand? The word says you cannot pray for yourself. I said, you have to submit to your husband in all things. Well, she said, I didn't know that. I said, don't make any difference. He holds you accountable for everything written in this book, does he not? So anyway, I said, all you got to do is repent, honey. Just tell him you're sorry, you didn't know, he'll forgive you. Here we are laying here in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. So she asked the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry, I didn't know, and I ask you to forgive me for not going through my husband to get prayer. And so I said, he forgive you. I said, now then, I'll pray for you. And I reached over and laid my hand on her stomach. I said, in Jesus' name, and man, in one heartbeat. I mean, that got Cheryl's attention. I'm telling you now, we can be anywhere talking to any woman. If that woman's having trouble with her husband, she says, you know, I was just like you, but if you want to be suffering pain the rest of your life, just go ahead and do it the way you're doing it. It ain't working. But she said, if you want to get healed, you do it God's way. And said, just like I did when I repented and Thurman laid hands on me, I was instantly healed. She said, I've learned that any time I have a need to anything, all I got to do is come to God through my husband. He answers my husband's prayer for me every time. And so if you got a deal like that, would you want to change that? No, it works. It works. Anyway, any other questions?
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am. What?
Who prays for
you?
We have two daughters.
Oh, sure. Hey, all of y'all can pray for me. Yeah,
no,
sure.
Who prays for her? For pastor.
Who prays for what?
Who prays for her if she doesn't have a husband?
Oh, if you don't have a husband...
God's your husband.
I mean, in other words, that's why God told us in his word that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're to be yoked with believers, and he tells us up front how to get that solved, but we don't do it. We go out and do it our own way. If you are a married woman and you don't have a husband that'll pray for you, then you need to find you some good lady friends somewhere that'll help you pray in what you need. Now, they'll never have as much power as your own husband. There's no one in the world got as much power in your house as your husband. God has put your husband to be the spiritual head of the house. He made that rule. I just have to teach that rule. But God made that rule. So every woman is to pray through her husband. She's to have him pray. And if you'll do that, your life will be better and you'll be amazed at how good life will be. But
if they don't have a husband, they can pray for themselves or their pastor can pray for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have their pastors pray for them. Yeah. Okay. Let's take communion. The bread, as Dave Wells, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the body in Jesus' name. Amen. We eat the bread. And the blood of the new covenant. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know what I think is missing in the church is our knowledge of the Word. And then when we read the Word, we need to realize that's God's instructions manual for us. The Bible is not something you just read every once in a while. It's something you study intently. And when you study it intently, He'll show you exactly what you're supposed to do. And if you will, He'll bless your socks off. He'll keep you healthy. But you got to know the Word. The more you know, the better it is. Okay, we got it all done? Okay, my prayer warriors, I need my prayer warriors to stand up. If you need to be prayed for today, these are the folks that you'll need to come talk to. They'll pray with you and find your sin. And pray for you and get you taken care of. And if you don't have any sin, great. If you do have some sin, just get rid of it. You don't want to walk in sin.
You want to thank the church for praying for you?
I appreciate all y'all's prayers. I know that many of you prayed for me. And I am so grateful.
And actually, you're a miracle. Can I say something?
Sure, honey. Sure. Okay.
For those of you that don't know, bowels don't come back alive. And so that was the whole thing that we were facing, where that he thought his bowels were dead. And so that was why we all prayed what we prayed. And so he is a miracle.
Amen.
Thank you all for praying. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.
We are all a miracle. All, every one of us. So. Okay, praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this group of people and their love for you. Now we ask you to bless them this week and give them knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding of your word. And we just give you praise and glory and honor for being our God and our healer, our deliverer, everything. Thank you that you do answer prayer. Thank you that you give us all power and authority over the enemy and that he has to obey us. Lord, and I just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.